Hello, and welcome to Chimpions. Just a couple of quick announcements before we jump in. So firstly, a little reminder, you can always come and support the show by leaving us an iTunes review or finding our Patreon page and giving us a little donation. Always very much appreciated. And also we've started a GoFundMe called Chimpions Go Pro in the wild hope that we'll get enough donations that we might be able to upgrade all our mics. Me get a laptop so I can edit on the go and just produce far, far better quality audio content. Whether we'll meet those targets is really up to you guys. So please, if you enjoy the show, spare us the price of a couple of cups of coffee and it'll all make a massive, massive difference, not only to the quality, but also to, it helps our enthusiasm as well in that knowing that, you know, people appreciate what we're doing enough to throw a bit of cash our way, I suppose. And while we're on that subject, I need to give a big thank you to Andrew Cowie and David Gillians, who've started that GoFundMe ball rolling. So we really appreciate that. And in tribute to you guys, we'll be raising a cup of tea and scoffing down a couple of chocolate hobnobs. The second thing is, currently we're following Team Rolling Thunder. Now, one of our players has had to go on hiatus for a short period of time. And although I have about probably 20 or 30 episodes still to edit, so we certainly won't be leaving Team Rolling Thunder behind, for my sanity, I'd like just a little break from editing Team Rolling Thunder incessantly. So probably from next week forward, we're going to follow an alternate story, still in the same world, still metahumans, still the same rule system, but this one will be based in the UK. And it sort of runs alongside and will actually meld into some of Team Rolling Thunder's later story. So hopefully you enjoy our new endeavour. Sometimes editing stuff that's so old can be a little tiresome for me because those things that I strive to not do to make it easier, well, I'm still doing back then because it was about 8 months ago. So I'm looking forward to hopefully what will be an easier edit for a month or two. While I recharge my batteries, as it were. So anyway, that's waffled on far longer than I intended, so on with the normal show. Bye! Welcome to Chimpions. This actual play RPG podcast takes place in a setting based on the Secret World Chronicle novels. We use the Hero System 5th Edition rules to follow the escapades of a team of metahumans working for the Echo Organization. Starring Matt as Bullet.
It's only now it becomes apparent that it was all Shockwave's fault.
Paul as Shockwave.
Because she was giving it to me. Most powerful thing I've ever felt.
Scott as Stratus.
Basically, your boss is a Class A asshole.
And me, your GM, Mark. Welcome to another episode of Chimpions.
Hello!
Very good.
From the new sound effects.
Yeah. You didn't see, but I was actually doing jazz hands there.
I liked the reverb. I thought it was very impressive.
That's natural. Or it might have been the jazz hands.
So, yeah, last time you'd investigated the armour. Stratus had made some provisional plans for a weekend away.
Yep.
And Shockwave was starting the process of converting the CCCP's van to give it a second rear axle to increase its carrying capacity for Chalk. Presumably to reduce the strain. And you were also going to swap its engine out, I believe, Shockwave, sorry.
Yeah.
Now, last week, while we was doing that, I actually looked on eBay and I found a 10-year-old Humvee for 15 grand. So I'm going to buy it. And buy them a new vehicle for him to do up as well.
I don't think she'd be very happy with that.
Why?
Because she likes to make use of the stuff she's got.
This is a doer upper.
Just roll me a mechanics ball.
It's on order.
Shockwave, sorry.
I did send you that in a GM whisper last week, but I think you missed it. No, I sent it to Mark. You're not the GM.
Made it by one.
So yeah, as Stratus is talking with you about this, yeah, you have a mechanical background, so you do realise the difference between, you know, you're obviously aware of the difference between a Humvee for the domestic market and a Humvee for the military market.
Yeah, it wasn't a domestic one. It was an ex-military one.
Oh, it's an ex-military one. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you notice, actually, Shockwave, that it's not one of those cheap, bloody domestic ones. It's the real deal.
Wow.
Like I say, it's a doer-upper, and it was $15,000.
Yeah, sounds good.
Because I was actually looking for amphibious Russian vehicles last week, but then I stumbled across this Humvee.
Didn't come across...
I found some.
Didn't come across a shopping trolley in a canal.
No, not a Russian one.
Like the BMP, I think, were the Russian armoured cars.
The BNP?
Yeah. BMP. Soviet Amphibious Tracked Infantry Fighting Vehicle, BMP-1. Boyevaya Mashina Pekoti. Terrible pronunciation, but there you go. Anyway, they've got
a
Humvee.
Tank. The BMP-1 looks just like a tank.
Well, yeah. Well,
I was going to actually get something that was a little bit less conspicuous. We are the CCCP. You're in a tank.
So yeah, you burnt a few days doing this. Shockwave, you realise that your conversion is going to take considerably longer than a couple of days. Maybe swapping the engine in and out, day job, possibly less.
No,
you've got a better idea than me, but you know, sort of chopping the chassis around a bit and adding the extra stuff in will take you. Well, how long do you reckon it'll take you in your expert opinion?
A couple of hours.
I meant in your real expert opinion. Not in game opinion.
Well, it's at least a week.
So yeah, you'll be pretty much tied up this week doing that if you want to, you know, get it done quickly.
Well, whatever. If we have to go away and do something else, then I'll just come back to it.
Yeah. So yeah, you've pretty much been given free rein, you know, to look at the armour. Red Saviour's left you alone. Seems to be a sort of a silent understanding that, you know, she's going to let you get on with this. So during the next week, after those few days when you've sawed the armour, she will sort of expect Bullet and Stratus to drop back into some sort of patrol psych. You know, during the rest of this week, you two end up, you know, just doing patrol without Shockwave, really. Things are pretty quiet at the moment. You know, you would know from your patrolling. I mean, you're only really patrolling a few blocks, really, either direction, which is quite a large-ish location, but in the big scheme of things isn't that big between the lot of you. You know, straying out a little bit into... get the feel for other areas or whatever. They're slightly more organised, unless you just decide to go off and do that on your own. But on the news during that week, it would definitely catch your attention is you notice that there's a small, I suppose, interest piece more than anything else that it appears that the mountain has agreed to be relocated from his current position. They plan to ship him off somewhere slightly more remote. Ooh. And, you know, as they're giving this, you know, and saying they plan to ship him off slightly more remote to her. Due to his potential, the potential risk to infrastructure in unfortunate circumstances, and the, you know, the camera cuts to previous footage, you know, from when the Avenger was, these sort of, you know, 2 foot deep, huge footprints in roads and school fields where he'd made his way across to the Echo campus.
I think it's probably a good job he was so nearby.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to invest in some Echo soft shoes for him.
Some slippers.
Hush puppies.
Yeah, exactly. Moccasins. Mountain moccasins.
Mountain Crocs.
Yeah. No, you got too far now.
Yeah.
Flip-flops. Can you imagine what the... How loud that would be?
Like a sonic
people,
boom.
People bleeding from the ears. And it'll be on all the local channels. You know, about the logistics of doing it, you know, and how it's going to be such a big thing, you know, needing large vehicles to be able to transport him, and ingenious ways that they're trying to concoct for, you know, moving his massive size and weight, you know, safely through the city, or, you know, to the river, so that they can, you know, then transport him that way.
What's the real reason for him moving?
Can't just walk.
He could, but you suddenly think, oh, all those pictures that they just showed me of, like, obviously his footprint sunk an inch and, well, sorry, a foot and a half into the middle of highway whatever. It's probably a really good reason why they're not getting him to walk. Because he's very big.
Isn't he all right where he is? He hasn't been out for years anyway, has he?
I know. And then when we needed him, he came out.
I think we should...
What's the real reason that they're moving him?
I think we should just start a petition and a protest, and say, you know, that the mountain shall not be moved.
Yeah. We won't move any mountain. We'll get Mr. C in, especially, to do a benefit gig.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they'd be more than up for it.
Yeah. So that's the only thing, that piece that really catches your eye on the news during the week, because it's obviously quite a big thing for Atlanta, you know.
Well, it's a big thing for anyone, really, isn't it? It's a mountain.
Well, yes, yeah, and it would appear as a small piece on probably most of the major news channels. Shockwave, can you just roll me a mechanics for the engine bit?
Yeah. Maybe Shockwave's souped-up van do the trick.
Get a mattress in the back, be fine.
Get two, use them as roller skates.
Ooh, on it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty simple task for anyone who's got any mechanical background and mechanical skills, yeah. Zero, yeah, on it is fine, yeah. So within the week, you definitely get that done. Could you just roll the second one for the modification, which is... a harder piece of work, so obviously you're having to design it as well. So yeah, by the end of the week, you're still you're not in a problem per se. It's just taking longer than you expected. So you've got the major amendments done there, but you think, I might need a day or two more into to the second week. As I say, your savior seems to be leaving you alone at the moment. And she never tends to venture down to the carpool or whatever, unless she's going out with someone, which she does do, but very rarely in a vehicle. Second week, the CCCP actually receive a contingent of members, and it does make the news, but it. Yeah, it wouldn't get to the news before, they would arrive at the CCCP headquarters and Red Savior would introduce them. But during the rest of that week, you sort of get to know them a little bit as well, to some extent. This new contingent, it's only half a dozen people, but it swells your ranks quite considerably, making this more now a Russian organisation than an American one.
At least there'll be more people to go on patrol now, rather than, you know, sitting in the basement tinkering.
Well, you realise Saviour must have sent out Untermensch to go and pick them up. And they arrive unceremoniously bundled into the back of the newly converted van, because the van's done by this stage, which has, you know, no real proper seating in the back of it or anything. And there's a few orange boxes thrown in there. And yeah, when they arrive, Saviour would introduce them, and she would say, this is, first I introduce our new comrades from, these Amerikanskis who have joined the CCCP, and she introduces you one at a time. And then she says, and out of the group, she introduces them, what appears to be the de facto leader of this little contingent. She says, this is Molotok, and he's quite a tall, sturdily built, ruggedly almost Hollywood handsome. And this is Upir. And you see, Upir is quite a diminutive woman, bigger than, you know, taller than Vicky V, but still very diminutive. And she's almost quite elfin in her build, you know, quite slender. And she's almost looks like a living doll. You know, she's got this sort of pale white porcelain skin, and her hair is pure white. It's not grey, it's pure white. And Rusolka, and you see, Rusolka is, she's an older woman, maybe in a, I say older, maybe she looks in her 40s. She's dark hair going grey, physically not particularly impressive. And then this is Smey. She introduces this very small, squat, brown haired, slightly for a metahuman, quite normal featured man. This is Jadwiga, and again, she's another woman in probably her 40s, maybe even her early 50s. She too's quite petite, but not like Upir. And lastly, who is probably the one who catches all your eyes when they're first brought into the common room where she's gathered you all together. This is a Soviet Bear, and you see Soviet Bear, he must be in his 60s at least. So he wears a little peak, you know, those little green peaky hats. Do you know what I mean? He's got an eye patch over his right eye. And apart from his shoulders and his arms, he's just like a cyberpunk's wet dream. His body seems to be completely made of metal, which is painted in what looks like to be standard green camo surplus paint. But in the centre of his chest, there seems to be some sort of gyroscope type thing that you can just see slowly circling and spinning around.
Mm-hmm.
These sturdy workers will be, we now be able to support more of the neighbourhoods here, extend our reach a little bit, and maybe send those filthy rebs packing, push them out from some other places they are trying to usurp. Mm. And yeah, during the rest of the week, you would realise that Molotok he's not only handsome, he's incredibly charismatic. He's obviously some, you know, powerhouse. You know, he's doing work around things. You know, he's lifting things that are, you know, you probably couldn't lift unless you got all your enhancements on Shockwave.
Right.
Upi is very quiet. Unlike Untermensch, who is quiet and serious, she's quiet, keeps herself to herself, but she's very pleasant if you interact with her. Rusolka seems pleasant enough. Seems a little bit standoffish to you guys. She seems almost a similar sort of vein to Red Savior in that she still holds on to those pre-Cold War ideas, you know. Smey makes himself known pretty quickly within the carpool. He's obviously has a lot of mechanical engineering skills, and although they've been introduced to you in their civvies, you see that, you know, he almost straight away he's tinkering on a suit of armour. Soviet Bear also spends quite a bit of time when he has to in the carpool. He obviously knows his way around things, and him and John Murdoch end up working on the generator together to try and actually get it working. And you pick up from the conversation that Soviet Bear is probably older than he looks. Certainly was in the Second World War, and he's quite happy if he can pin you down in a corner for more than 30 seconds to recount numerous tales of his heroics during the Second World War. And Jadwiga is, again, you think she's probably, pre the end of the Cold War, age-wise. And her abilities seem to be... Red Savior pounces on her almost straight away, puts her to work straight away. She seems to be some sort of remote reader, and she's almost straight away put on effectively scouting out the area using her abilities, like an early warning system, really.
So, where did these folks come from then?
So yeah, as you chat to them, they'd be more happy to. Molotov's the easiest one to chat to. He's obviously the one with the best English for a start. Soviet Bear's English is pretty broken, and he's even more prone to making verbal faux pas than Red Savior is. but Molotov's English is good, and he's very charismatic, and he's happy to. He's a people person. So Molotov would say, we have been sent over from as reinforcements for CCP in America. Supernauts are doing most of... Oh, excuse me. It is the tonic in the vodka. the supernauts are able to deal with most of, what we did previously, and it made more sense. Workers' champion said for us to be here supporting Red Savior. He shrugs, as he says it. He says, Molotov, Red Savior is like a sister to me. We grew up together. Rysilka and Jadwiga and Soviet Bear, all comrades from Second World War. Don't let old Bear start telling you his wild tales, though, and his humour. And Smey, newer, not as old. He's, and Jupiter too, she's not as old. I suspect maybe some of us are here, like myself, because of our strong ties to Red Savior and her dishonor, maybe. That's not quite right. Her being in the Americas while, the heat dies down. Because if you remember, there was when the first attack happened, there was Red Savior's massacre, and she was in the middle of being disciplined at the time that went down because of her rather brutal arrest of a Russian criminal oligarch. There will be some others later, though I fear they will be more the untested, those who not put their powers to use or struggle with them. But we train them here. I think People's Champion may be a little short-sighted in sending us those. He is identifying them now. Because with training, some of them are maybe not his equal, but... Yeah. And, he asks you about yourselves as well. But I won't go through that again, unless there's anything new you want to bring to the party.
So is everything under control in Russia, then?
The Supernaut program has come along very quickly. It was already developed. It was just a matter of finance and deployment. And because of CCCP being so weakened, obviously more finance became available, or so they say. And that's the Supernaut program is, I don't know, maybe a few hundred. But led by Workers' Champion with the support of the advisory with Red Savior's father.
Oh.
Now, I've seen what the armor can do. It is, no meta power, but it is, they are like little tanks almost. Only more mobile.
So, Bullet and, forgot your name, Stratus.
Thanks.
I've been with her investigating the armour and found out a few bits about it.
Ah, Smee would be the best one to discuss that with, I think. Obviously, you will give a report to Red Saviour and she will disclose what she feels appropriate.
Hmm.
Stratus, have you heard anything from Vicky V at all?
No, not yet.
And over a couple of weeks, you would have heard bits and pieces from Stratus, probably all of you. Oh. But nothing of any import, you know, just checking in with you, seeing how things are going. Just courtesy calls, if you like. Fair enough. Keeping the lines of communication open and everything. Can someone just roll me a skill check? With no modifiers. It doesn't matter who. It's not for you. It's for Soviet.
Matt.
Oh, well, 8 seems like sounds a good thing to get.
Yep, sounds good.
So, yeah, finally, over the Tannoy system, you get a call to Saviour's office, all three of you.
Okay.
When you arrive, Untermensch and Molotok are leaving, and they sort of acknowledge you as you go, you know. You go in. Saviour's office is not the biggest office in the world. It's a bit crowded at the moment because the Saviour in there, Soviet, and there is also Belladonna Blue, which is, as I said before, I think, you know, Belladonna does seem to spend quite a lot of time here considering she's Echo.
It's quite freelance with how she behaves.
And it's Belladonna that's keeping you your ammunition topped up as well, Bullet, if you remember.
Yes.
Save yourself. Shut the door. So, yeah, I'll take it. You shut the door behind you.
Mm-hmm.
She looks a little perplexed, and she sort of scowls between the other two women. She says, you first, Soviet. And so Soviet explains that she's analysed the few samples that she's managed to get from that armour, and she has indeed identified that there was something living in there.
Mm-hmm.
She says, but... And she glances over at Belladonna again. She says, maybe Belladonna should explain now. You know, it's Red Saviour scowling at Belladonna, and they do seem to get on quite well in a strange love-hate relationship, those two. And Belladonna shrugs and says, what Soviet is trying to tell you is the organic matter she found in that armour, it isn't human. In fact,